Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Play action, Gabbert rolling, fires, man is open, it's a touchdown. That is Pruitt at the back of the end zone, giving the Titans the lead with 4:30 to go, 18-16. So Josh pumps it, no place to go. He's going to put it up for grabs, and it's going to be intercepted by Tennessee. Tennessee picks it off and running it back inside the 10. They're going to take it in for a touchdown on the final play of the game. The pick six by Malcolm Butler. And this game is over. Final score here in Nashville. Titans 25 and the Redskins 16.
The needle tears a hole. The old familiar.
All right. It's Shavy Finley. It's the Redskins Talk Podcast. What up, everybody? Johnny Cash seems appropriate. But I Hurt seems appropriate. Pete's here. Mitch is here. We're in Nashville. The hardest part of all this is that they played pretty well. They gave themselves a chance, and the story was just getting so incredibly nuts with Josh Johnson and talk of a playoff actually happening. It was just getting crazy. And then the dagger pick at the end. I want to be clear. I don't think the dagger pick is what killed this team. The defense not being able to get a stop on Blaine Gabbert in the final minutes of a game where they had the lead is the killer. I'm not even addressing the pick six at the end of the game. I mean, that was just miracle nonsense. That was a tough L. You feel bad. I feel bad for Josh Johnson. We've talked about what a great story it is.
I feel bad for Jake Rudin. I feel bad for Adrian Peterson. I feel bad for Trent Williams. I feel bad for John Allen. I feel bad for DJ Swearinger. I feel bad for these guys. I laid it all on the line. And as wildly improbable as it seemed, making a playoff run after all of those injuries down to your third string tight end, fourth string quarterback, 38th string guards, like, it just and to have that moment of hope during the game, I mean, it felt like something was happening. It felt like momentum was real.
It did, dude. God, we haven't said momentum is real in so long. Right? The momentum's just been so damn real for so long.
We're just used to it at this point.
Yeah.
I would say we've done 8 now post-game podcasts after a loss. And we've had a lot of losses where we've been annoyed or
this
angry.
Is their first time under 500, isn't it?
Yeah.
No. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. They were 6-3. Four straight to go to 6-7.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
7-7, now 7-8.
Yeah. Sorry. All right.
Yeah. We've questioned a lot of losses, been mad after a lot of losses, but this one, I don't think you can question at least the effort. You can question certain play calls here and there, but this fans should be, I think, mostly proud of how at least the team fought.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
This team.
Think about the injuries. Like, no one's using excuses, but you got to try to explain situations. That's the reality.
And there have been so many times, not just this season, but in years past, where the effort didn't seem to be there, but, like, that wasn't the case today. Like, This was a max effort. These guys came to play. These guys came and dealt with this game like it was a playoff game for them. And you tip your cap to the players and to Jay for getting them in the right place and mentally and physically. And it's I feel bad for him. I don't know what I feel. It felt like a gut shot when Josh threw that pick. I mean, like it was like a visceral reaction almost, you know, because you felt like he was going to drive for that game time field goal.
And let's be honest, too. This is unique because we cover the Redskins, and in the last few seasons, we've covered a lot of game-ending interceptions. That's been a part of the that was a part of the Kirk Cousins experience. Let's not hide what I'm saying here. When those happened, never felt like maybe the one against the Giants in 2016, maybe, but it never felt like it did with Josh. Maybe because you allowed yourself to root for this guy, like the underdog story was just so remarkable. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree there, but it, to your point, Mitch, it really was like an emotional, visceral thing.
It felt different than years past. Like it was. I feel like with the Kirk picks, I was pissed. I was angry. I was, you know, that was kind of what my initial in my head reaction was. Today it was
damn.
Yeah, it was emo damn. Emo Redskins talk.
The way he walked off, I mean, he took his sweet time getting over there. You could tell it just crushed him, and
he's like, I know this is going to eat at me.
Yeah, it's just a terrible, terrible finish. And like JP said earlier, like, we should be clear, the fact that they lost to Blaine Gabbert in the second half is kind of a mess, and it looked like they had a chance to really steal one there, and they probably should have. So there's plenty to be annoyed about in that respect, but at least...
I mean, he threw the pick, and he stood there on the field staring out into nothingness. Slowly walked off, helmet...
Listen to the words we're using. Nothingness, void... I mean...
But the one thing that I wanted to bring up was it took him God knows how long to get off the field, and he went and sat down on the bench, and O'Connell comes over and starts going over the, you know, looking at the play or whatever, and at that point, there's not much to it. Adrian Peterson gets up from the running back's bench, which is on the other side of, like, the Gatorade coolers and stuff, and walks over and daps him up and puts his hands on Josh's shoulders and is saying something, you know, into his ear, and, like, it just... You could feel how much these guys... It wasn't so much that we allowed ourselves to root for him, you know, because he was such a good story.
Right.
You could feel that these guys were bought into a quarterback in Washington, D.C. for the first time in a long time, you know? And these guys were, you know, a room 53 men full of professionals were rooting
for him.
I think
they bought into everybody but Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But you had a room full of professionals that were rooting for him, and it's...
Dude, so in the locker room after the game, I saw AP, and, you know, he and I know each other a little bit, and I was like, but hey, man, you know, we're having a brief conversation. I was like, but hey, man, congrats, 1,000 yards. He's like, he just looked at me and kind of shook his head, and I was like, he was like, I mean, thanks, but hard to think about that right now.
He said that at the podium, too, that the loss just totally overshadows this, and... A couple follow-up questions, we were trying to get him to, like, reflect and say, hey, Eric Dickerson, all these guys, and you could tell. He's like, in a couple days, maybe, but right now I couldn't care less about that.
We haven't thanked Orsman. That's who we ride with, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Buy cars from them. They're good to us. We're good to you. Be good to them. It's a triangle of goodness.
It's all in the hips.
It's all circular. I never really thought this magical three-game run was going to happen for the Skins to make the playoffs. But damn if they didn't have a lead at halftime with Blaine Gabbert at quarterback for the other team. And I was like, holy... I said to Mike Phillips and Kime, too, was standing there. We were talking about if the Skins-Eagles game was going to get flexed to 4:30 or to 8. You know what I mean? Like, things were moving.
Yeah.
The defense did not do enough against Blaine Gabbert. DJ Swearinger had some very pointed comments about... the defensive scheme late in that game.
Play calling.
We should have blew him up. If I'm the D coordinator, I'm calling zone every time on third down because you got a backup quarterback. Make him beat us. Make him, okay, zone, go here. Then we go pick you off. You just, man, 3-by-1, we going backside every time. A kindergarten quarterback can know that, man. You know, so that's my frustration right now, dog. We played a hell of a game, man. We fought to the end. You know, offense, defense, we fought. We just didn't make the plays that we needed to do to get over that hump. And it's been the whole year, dog. You know, it's been the whole year. Every week it seems like it comes down to a bad call, or, you know, we never get that call as Redskins. So I'm a very smart football player. I probably watch more film than them coaches. And that's 100. That's probably documented, you know. But, you know, I try to give my insight, but, you know, it doesn't work. So I can only put my heart in this, dog. Put my heart in this and just give them what I can give them. You know, whether they take it or not, you know, that's another thing. That's where the frustration comes in at, when we don't win.
So you guys got to hear DJ. I think there's two separate things. DJ tends to talk, to say, he tends to be critical of himself, of other players, of coaching staff. I'm not sure how right he was schematically. I think something should have been different because Blaine Gabbert shouldn't be able to go up and down the field. I think you turn up the pressure there. Clearly, DJ thinks there should have been an adjustment in the secondary and how they were covering guys.
He wanted some confusion for Blaine.
Right.
And I think the best point that DJ made was the previous third down. Clinton Dix flashed in front of the tight end, maybe, almost had that pick. And he's like, we show that if we confuse Blaine, he's going to throw us a pick. We just didn't make that play. And he was frustrated that they didn't go back to a defensive scheme that was more like that, a zone drop where you maybe, you know, throw somebody underneath the receiver and confuse, you know, a quarterback that doesn't have a whole lot of practice time.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, Pete, your takeaway from DJ?
You wrote about it, right?
Yeah, I wrote about, just summed up the comments.
Yo, get the My Teams app. Our shows are on My Teams. That's been confirmed now. Get the app. Pete's story's on the app.
Yeah.
So are JP's, by the way.
Sometimes. Just kidding. They're always on the app. I love everyone.
I'll beat JP. Yeah, I mean, you could tell DJ, he's been hinting at this all year, and that was the play call that kind of set him over the top, and there was no more hinting. He was clearly calling out Greg, saying he watches a ton of film and he has a feel for this defense. And
I believe he said he watches more film.
He said he watches more film.
Yeah.
And that's like
more film
than the defensive coordinator.
Yes.
I mean, that's it's become untenable.
I believe we're in untenable territory now.
Yes. That's a pretty damning comment. The whole availability was damning on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, let's do unless there's more to unpack, I think we go to game balls. Because, like, we're just going to sit here in this, like,
nothingness.
Yeah.
Nothingness. I thought, I'll just say that I liked what DJ said today. He's done so much hinting at different stuff. And he talked specifically about the way that NFL quarterbacks look at defenses and the way that the defenses want to act. And he spoke specifically of the plays that he wanted different. He finally put the... He closed the quotes. He put the two pieces together, the hinting at their poor play and hinting at the poor coaching, and was able to and finally kind of let us into what he really wanted to say all season long. And when you're kind of eliminated from the playoffs, whether it's official or not, it was good to get some closure on that front.
Also, craziness. Josh Johnson, Blaine Gabbert were on the Niners team in 2014 backing up Colin Kaepernick.
How about that?
Well, and just to keep going with it, Kaepernick got his job when he replaced Alex Smith. And at one point, Colt McCoy was in San Fran with Kaepernick. I mean, talk about our boy AJ had a good tweet. Time is a flat circle right there, man. I tell you what, man.
That was
the best one I've ever done.
That was the best one you've ever done.
Yeah, you just can't think about it. You just have to do it.
Because I always go into a weird Scarface.
You do like Narcos, yeah. Scarface voice.
I tell you what, man.
Maybe
I figured it out. Maybe I cracked the code. Just
in time.
Game balls?
Yeah.
Well, to hell with that. You said just in time. I believe Jay Gruden will be back, and I believe Jay Gruden should be back. Your vote. Your go.
Yeah. You know what?
Will and should. Those are the answers I need.
Will, I think, yes. I think he will be back. Should he be back? I think these last two games have maybe moved me away off the edge, maybe moved me off the hot seat a little bit, and more
to the side. Will hot seat.
I think the Will, I think he will come back, and I don't know that I thought he should a few weeks ago, and now I think I'm trending more towards he should.
Pete?
Will, yes, should. I don't think two games overshadow enough of the shortcomings from Jay, and I don't know if Jay has any of these qualities that make you scream, yes, he should come back. So I think he will, but I don't think he should. Just, it's 5 years, one playoff appearance. I know the injuries have been nuts, but there are flaws throughout Jay Gruden's tenure that have been consistent. The defense has never really been great. The team constantly has issues and games where they should be pumped up and ready to go, and they come out just so flat. And I think those are long flaws that two games in December shouldn't erase.
Fair. I think a DC change happens. I think we all kind of know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he picks the right one this time.
Go buy a car at Oarsman. We support all their dealerships.
All of Virginia.
I honestly can't remember which specific one we're supposed to plug right now.
We'll get them later in the week.
Buy an Oarsman Automotive of Virginia car. They're the best. How would Trump say? They got great cars. Excellent cars.
The best.
We don't do politics.
We do not.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Game balls and goats. I'm starting and I'm going kind of easy.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Hopkins.
Nice.
We haven't really talked about Hop all year. Dude's been really good.
Yeah, he's been overshadowed by his other specialists.
Right. 3 for 3 today. From my vantage point, looked like he drained all of them. Like none of them were even questionable.
Two from 49 and 50. Long rangers.
I think that's an easy one. Pete, I'm leaving you the easiest one because you've had a rough day.
Adrian Peterson.
There you go.
Oh, you stole mine.
I know. I'm really digging deep for this one. 26 carries, 119 yards, broke the 1,000-yard mark. Just, we weren't sure it was going to happen today. He looked like he was on a whole nother level. This was like rare form from Adrian Peterson.
That jump cut, dude. Like the spin move he hit.
It was working. And
he looked quicker than I've seen him.
Yeah. The fact that
maybe all year.
It's week 16 and he's playing like that is amazing. And a testament to the kind of player he is.
I also wonder a little bit if AP had heard enough about Derrick Henry this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
one thing I noticed out of AP this week that he hadn't done in the past was he does a lot of dancing or jump cuts and whatnot in the
behind the line of scrimmage.
He kind of put his head down and just like ran through some guys for a few yards here and there, and I like that power AP.
Yeah, and there's no really, really long runs there. It's just consistent 6, 7, 4, 6.
26 for 119.
Yeah.
What's that YPC?
Four, almost 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, dude.
That's real good.
All right, Mitchell?
I'm going to go Daron Payne.
Nice.
They, especially early on, bottled up Derrick Henry. There was one possession where
Payne came to play, dude.
He had three. He made all three plays.
Yeah.
And one of them was he kind of wrapped up Derrick Henry with two hands, and then his left hand got pulled off, and he just had his right hand kind of across his jersey and just tossed him.
What's tough is, like, stats don't tell that story.
No.
He has two tackles, or three combined.
He had a pass deflection, too.
Third down play of that series.
Yeah. Daron Payne just decided that on that drive the Titans were not going to move the ball, and he just stopped them every time.
It's not even to say that he doesn't come to play other games, because I don't think he's a guy that we question his work ethic or his effort. But, man, today was a dominant Daron Payne, and that was cool to see.
Yeah, last week, I think during the week or maybe post-game, somebody asked Jay a question about, you know, players being ready. And the two guys he mentioned as guys he doesn't have to worry about are John Allen and Daron Payne. And it's just cool that those are your two young defensive linemen, and Jay Gruden already knows that they just show up every week regardless, and he has no worries about them. It's a good quality to have.
Whew. Are we allowed to say Mason Foster had a good game?
I think so.
I know people get jumpy about that. Yeah, sack, 9 tackles, knocked a pass down.
That also was, the sack was one of the, like,
he crushed the. Is that the play he got hurt?
No, Jonathan Allen's sack is when Mariota got hurt.
That's the biggest hit that you'll see on a quarterback and not have it get flagged for some shenanigans. Like, he just absolutely crumbled him.
Right. I had one. Crowder had almost 80 yards.
Wait, didn't you just do Mace?
Oh, yeah. Mace.
Nice.
Pete. You're up, Pete.
I guess I'm just going to kind of give one to the O-line as a whole. I mean, they had some false starts. Trent had a couple big penalties, but Peterson's running day doesn't happen without those guys, and I think that combination actually worked. We were into backup guard territory again, but the offensive line, I think, had more positives than negatives, and they also kept Josh Johnson pretty clean, too. So
clean.
Clean.
Yeah, we had Chase Rouillet on post-game. Chase is a good dude, man. Sorry, that was kind of an aside, but...
he is a good dude.
But to the O-line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More game balls. I think I might be game balling.
I'm kind of out. You know what's tough is my guy Josh Johnson was definitely going to get one.
I know.
Yeah.
I think we can hat tip him. That 97 or that 17-play, 93-yard drive was awesome. And I'm sad that the game ended negatively, so we can't really talk about it. But when they...
We can still talk about
the
it.
Second and 27 conversion where AP had the nice run, and then Josh rolled out and found Doxson for the first down, and then they just kept marching slowly but surely, found the end zone. I mean, that drive felt like it lasted forever. We were like, Jameson Crowder caught the punt to start it in the first quarter, and then it somehow dragged all the way through the second with 4 minutes left. It was very cool.
I got two game balls that are a little outside the ordinary, but I'm giving them.
Oh, boy. Is today 12-22-18?
Yeah, why is that alarming?
Jonathan Allen just tweeted, Greg Minuski coached a great game tonight.
Oh, boy. We got a thing on our hands here, gentlemen. I know. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Sorry to throw off game balls and go.
It's all right.
Front
seven versus secondary has been a thing for a while, and I'm not suggesting that's what's going on. But on the E scale, where are we at?
I mean,
that's pretty high.
DJ
up
was an 11. Now I think we're at a 13 just for the whole situation.
13 out of 10 sounds about right.
Yep.
Yee. He didn't even, he spelled Minuski.
I was just about to say.
That's bad.
Hey, man.
Come on, man. You got to put an eye on there, man.
No, it's a Y.
Oh, yeah.
He put an eye on.
I know. Sorry.
All right, come on. We're falling.
All right. What are your game balls? Your wacky ones.
Titans PR staff, or I don't know, it's PR or catering or what.
Press box people. Yeah.
So we had some technical trouble back in Bethesda. Pete and I had to stay down on the field way later than we normally do. We weren't able to get up into the press box until, I mean, we probably missed the first 5 minutes of the first quarter just because of various wacky things that occurred. Titans. So everybody knows I'm not the type that talks about press box food and stuff. But I hadn't eaten anything all day. I usually just eat at the stadium because that's how I'm wired and I'm always running late and whatever. I know there's food there. We get there. They had already put all the food away because usually you just put the food out before the game. And I was starving and there was a woman there and I was like, Miss, I'm really sorry. Got up here late. Is there any chance we could get some food? And she's like, honey, I'll make you a plate. She made Pete and I a plate. They brought out moon pies for us. They were just really, really pleasant, gracious people, and I want to thank them for that. And then this is a big one, man. My guy, Tony Wiley. Tony takes a lot of heat that he probably shouldn't, but Tony runs a very good press room, and I had talked to Tony earlier this week about, hey, man, my wife is super pregnant. I don't, you know, anybody that has kids knows that you never know when the kids are coming, and when they decide it's time is when it's time. I talked to Tony about maybe making some arrangements around that for stuff I needed to do. And we had worked all damn day. Tony's been working all day. And he called me at the end of the night. And he's like, hey, how's your wife? Is everything okay? And just...
Nice move.
It's a class act. And not everybody does that sort of stuff. And I want I doubt you listen to this, Wiley, but if you do, thank you very much, dude.
Also, game ball.
Game ball.
For someone sitting in this room. Mitch Tischler got the...
Oh, my gosh. Totally.
Josh Norman, Taylor Luan.
Which is just totally blowing up.
Confrontation, only one there. Presence of mind to shoot it, of course, to be around there. We're not... Mitch does a great job so often, we kind of get used to it, but he deserves a game ball for that.
Well done, Pete.
Awesome video that everybody's talking about, will be a storyline for quite some time, and Mitch was the one who made it happen. He's not just a podcast personality. The man can shoot some video, too.
All right, it's time for goats. Goats. Mitch, you start.
It sucks. I don't know if there's any goats. There's a lot of... I think you do eye rolls of plenty, but I don't know if there's any goats.
All right. Well, Pete, you start.
I'm going to do an eye roll to Ha-Ha for missing the interception. Yeah. That was a game-changing play. I actually truly do not know how he missed that interception.
I think it might be a goat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you can go goat for Ha-Ha.
Yeah, I agree.
Miss some tackles.
There's some coverage issues on some of the stuff downfield. All right, go for Ha-Ha.
So I got one.
I have a hat tip. I was talking with Hoffman, and he was right. Preston Smith had a good game. Preston Smith was good in the run. Not a game ball, but I'm giving him a hat tip.
I'm going to give a hat tip to DeShazer Everett. He was on the field a lot today and had a nice tackle for a loss.
Yeah, all right. Hat tip for Shays. We couldn't come up with him then, but now that we're doing goats, we remember the hat tips.
This is good segment.
All right, goat, Ha-Ha, Mitch, you're up.
So I don't know who gets this goat, but when Kieran, is that right?
Yep.
Hurt his knee. The first play in after that was the third and inches play. Kyle Fuller comes in, and they run a... they have him pulling. They stack the box with all 22 guys are in the box. No wideouts out wide. And they have Kyle Fuller pulling in his very first play coming into the game, and he just gets blown the F up. And
they've done that. They did that on the goal line with Mark Sanchez.
It's not even like... it's not necessarily the formation per se, although I have issues with trying to run out of having all 22.
You want eye formation.
But you can't have the guard who's coming in for his first play of the season or first play of the game trying to pull around. Like, get the guy in the game. Like, let him make a block. Let him get comfortable getting hit. Like, that was a weird play call. Went for a loss. It didn't go well. And then the next play, they were going to go for it on fourth and inches, and 61 jumped off sides, and they ended up having a punt. And I don't even know all the damn offensive linemen. Yeah. Like,
Mitch is hot.
Here. I know.
Mitch is getting hot.
I didn't like that set of play calls there. But I did think Jay did a pretty good job most of the game, so maybe he gets a eye roll or a kick in the can or whatever.
Kick in the can down the road.
I don't know who this goes to. There was not enough urgency late in that game when they got the ball, and like nobody seemed to want to score a touchdown. It seemed like they were just trying to move the ball enough for a field goal. Jameson Crowder had an opportunity to run out of bounds, got tackled in bounds. They didn't have Adrian Peterson on the field, who was just having an outrageous game. I just didn't seem urgent enough in an urgent situation.
Yeah, that's another Jay Gruden flaw, I would say. Sometimes the team just
that seems to
be very, very slow operating.
Methodical.
Methodical is like when it's good, though. Like, I don't... methodical is too positive. It's slow.
Deliberate,
yeah, when it shouldn't be. This is a tough one to give out because he caught his first touchdown in a couple years. So tell me if this isn't a worthy eye roll, but that drop Michael Floyd had really close to the goal line.
Yes, it's worthy, dude.
Oh.
Maybe just an eye roll for that particular play.
Because he had a touchdown.
Yeah, but that...
you got to make
Michael Floyd has dropped a lot of contested balls this year.
Michael Floyd has not been that... as John Keim will point out, he's a quite good blocking wide receiver. But, like, that can never be the first part of your, hey, this guy's all right, because you can't start with that.
Yeah, and when people freak out about Simi Cobbs, I don't know if I'm there yet, but... when you see Michael Floyd dropping passes like that, it makes you wonder, why the hell do we want to keep him around so badly?
It's funny, because when he scored the touchdown, in my head, I was like, I wonder how many people are like, Simi who?
Yeah.
You know? And then you're like, all of a sudden you're like, ah, yes.
Yeah, Simi Cobbs. That's exactly.
That's why we were salty about that.
He's had a lot of... he makes Terrell Pryor's catch rate look sparkling. He's had a lot of drops.
It's a weird game, dude, because it's like, Not a lot of game balls, not a lot of goats. It was just a tough,
yeah,
kind of ugly, but are we being too generous that this team lost to Blaine Gabbert?
I think we might be.
Well,
I wonder if a lot of, folks got to imagine, we've had a really long damn day. Like, we did two, I was on television for 2 hours, pregame. You know what I mean? Like, Mitch got to the stadium at what time? I don't know, 8 a.m. or some shit? It's a long day. So, the immediate reaction, and I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy doing, and I think people enjoy listening to the postgame pods, is it's an immediate reaction. I wonder, when I watch this game back and crunch the numbers and really look at everything, if there's not going to be a much bigger, holy shit, they just lost to Blaine Gabbert with the playoffs on the line.
I think that's absolutely what should be. Well, I was going
to DJ Swearinger's point, or John Allen's point. Does Minuski get hat tip?
Game no.
Ball? I'm just going through the range. Game ball, hat tip, pick of the can, or goat. Where does he rate?
I mean, I don't know.
Where does the play calling rate in the fact that they didn't beat Blaine Gabbert?
It's a part of it, for sure.
Certainly.
But the players also have to make plays. I think at best, Minuski's getting an eye roll.
Yeah.
And he's probably a goat.
That's what I was getting at, too.
But I also think maybe the whole damn defense is getting an eye roll to give up that game-winning drive.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that was Derrick Henry. They bottled Derrick Henry up well for most of that game until the fourth quarter. And he got going and moved the ball pretty well.
But to Swearinger's point, when you're in man-to-man in the secondary, it's hard to step up and help out in run defense because you're running with your back to the line of scrimmage. So as he broke through to the second line of defense, there wasn't a whole lot of resistance on that 22-yard run or whatever. They got taken down to the 2-yard line.
I never saw the replay, but I know everybody was pissed off on the Fabian Moreau. That's the play Swearinger's mad about, but was the hold on Moreau bad, or was it?
Dude, he grabbed his jersey. Okay. Anytime there's a jersey pull,
yeah,
and you see it, the refs are going to call it.
A lot of the players were upset about that in the locker room, but I never really saw it.
I only saw it live, but I saw it live and knew they were going to flag it.
Yeah. That's all you need then.
I don't know where you were on the field.
Yeah,
but
just off in the press box.
I'm concentrating on the quarterback for the most part, so yeah. I didn't see it as much.
I think.
Wait, Mitch is concentrating on the quarterback and not the line plates?
You're not watching Kyle Fuller pull?
I saw Kyle Fuller pull. I saw Kyle Fuller pull, get knocked backwards behind Adrian Peterson, who was trying to run through that hole.
I think you're absolutely right, JP. We're maybe just trying to come to grips with the fact that the season's over and these guys busted their ass and so many backups played and Josh Johnson was so easy to root for. But at the very bottom of this, we have to realize that they just blew a massive opportunity to keep their season
Agreed.
Alive.
I got a goat. Taylor Lewan. The shit with Josh Norman was just so unnecessary.
I haven't even told what the story
was. Yeah, let's do it.
So after the game, on the Titans' final drive before they punted with, whatever time left, on second down, Norman tackled Derrick Henry. Afterwards, they got up woofing at each other. Josh was complaining that Derrick, after the play, put his hand inside his face mask and was like, not eye gouging, but just put his hand inside the face mask. So Josh was pissed. That's why he was yelling at Henry. Obviously, the Titans are saying that they thought Josh was trying to hurt Derrick Henry, so both sides had a gripe. Afterwards, after the game ended, Derrick Henry went over to Josh Norman to try and, dap him up and be like, yo, bro, are we cool? And Josh was like, no, man, I'm good. Leave me alone. I don't, don't dap me up. And Derrick was like, let's leave this shit behind. Let's be cool. And Josh was like, all right, man. And they dap up and Derrick walks away. And Josh goes and sits back down on the Redskins bench on his own, doing what he was doing in the postgame locker room, just putting his hand in his head in his hands. And I'm shooting Josh on the bench. And next to me, I hear a dude go, "Yo, get out of our stadium! Get out of my stadium! Get the F out of my stadium!" And at that point, Josh picks up his helmet and chucks it at Tyler Lewan, and then Taylor Lewan. Then Taylor does the bow and arrow thing at Josh.
The bow and arrow is just such a jerk move, dude.
It's just such a... But the biggest jerk move is, Taylor had to go seek out Josh. Josh was on the Redskins bench.
Sideline,
he had to walk across the field specifically to go take a shot at a dude, especially, that dude sitting on the bench, pissed off, like angry, whatever Josh's emotions were. It was a pretty in. Josh likes to talk a lot, and Josh gets in the middle of a lot of shit. This one was totally on Lewin. This one had he was an innocent bystander that got caught up in the wash of a guy who has, I guess, a little bit of a history of starting fracases like this.
Fracases.
Good story, Mitch, and again.
Nobody has details like Mitch Tischler has details.
The best details.
Yeah, and shoots the video that gets all the clicks. Goodness.
Clicks with the Z.
So many clicks and retweets.
Are we done?
We gotta get to over-unders.
I think we all got killed.
No, I went over on AP.
Did you?
Oh, wait, no, I didn't.
You went over on the score, I think.
Oh, did I go? Oh, I did.
And it went over on the score on that final touchdown.
Oh, jeez. So is that, did Pete win?
Pete backdoored that one.
We all went under on AP, we lost that.
We all went under.
We all went under on Josh Johnson, total yards 200. We won that.
He didn't rush too much today. How many rushing
yards? He only had 4 rushes for 22 yards. Oh, okay. He didn't run much. He kind of took was there.
And they also didn't need to run much because he had AP work.
You know what I've realized?
No. We have this. That's not. JP had the under on Josh Johnson. Pete and I both had the over.
Ooh, that's a hit. Oh! But my guy Mitch checking the records.
But JP and I had the under on AP. Pete had the over.
Bingo! I knew it.
And then we all had the under on the game score.
So
it's a tie.
You two tied.
We go 1-2 and tie so often on over-unders. It's
and well, wacky more segment. Importantly, Mitch lost.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Mitch, what does that give you?
Oh.
How's your buzzer?
It's a good buzzer.
We need to do some hijinks pods. Pete was just a total mess in Nashville.
Oh boy.
An uncontrollable total mess. You tell everybody you had 4 canceled Ubers.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Pete's all quiet.
Yeah. Just a total
4 mess. Canceled Ubers and a Venmo payment to a random person that said, thanks for the ride.
Yeah.
So we're wondering whether Pete was just a puddle on the side of the street that someone decided to help out drive home.
There's no groin anomalies on this trip, but plenty of other anomalies.
Yeah, I should have made more notes about just how wacky Pete has been this whole trip.
The best part of the night last night was JP's sister and myself are trying to get Pete to leave the bar. We're all leaving to go home for the night. We're trying to get Pete to leave. JP's sister is kind of holding Pete's arm, pulling him down the stairs. I'm behind him on the stairs, and he just keeps escaping from JP's sister and then running into me and then running into his sister and then running into me. And finally, he like climbed up on the railing and jumped over the side of the railing to the other set of stairs so that he could run back upstairs and stay at the bar.
Never quit.
At that point, we all were like, all right, Pete, the night Nashville is taking you.
Yeah, dude. We thought Pete had done well because he survived Tampa. And so I didn't even think to, like, to have a talk
prep with him or to Nashville. Yeah.
He couldn't handle Nashville. Yeah. Matt Volk or Nina or whoever's in charge, if we go back to New Orleans, you can't send Pete. He will not survive. All right, you agree?
The Vegas, New Orleans, like, those are no
Pete. You can't send Pete.
No Pete zones.
All right, now I think we're done. Now that we've insulted our dear friend and colleague, I want to say this. We've gotten a ton of really great pictures of Redskins ornaments, and we will work those back in. If Pete ever gets back to 100%, maybe he'll do a big post on the Instagram. Kind of
sucks, guys. The season's, like, over. I mean, there's only one more game left, but that's it.
Yeah, dude. Still right. In a way, though, it's kind of remarkable that it kept going. Don't cry because it's over, Pete. Smile because it happened.
It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
This is an exhausting journey.
We're hemorrhaging listeners. It's a tough one, man. Journalistic integrity be damned. I feel bad for Josh Johnson. You can see it in his eyes, man. This is the opportunity that he's waited for his entire life, man.
Here's a good stat from AJ, who we give a lot of crap. In his limited playing time, Blaine Gabbert finished today's win with a 123.7 passer rating. That's the best performance of his career.
Blaine Gabbert was dropping dimes, too. You got to credit. I still think the Redskins should have been able to get a stop, but you got to give Gabbert some credit.
You know what? Josh Johnson earned himself a shot this offseason.
Oh, of course.
Well, it depends if they draft somebody, but I think
a shot somewhere.
He's got to be a camp.
He'll be in the NFL.
Yeah, agreed.
That song just ended, eh?
Indeed. It's
by the way, big Johnny Cash fan. I love Johnny Cash.
Pete, they played Johnny Cash on the Jumbotron, and Pete's like, "Why are they playing this weird old song?" I'm like, "Pete, it's Johnny Cash, and we're in Nashville." He's like, "So?" At which point, Kime,
a lot of
like four spots down, was just like, "Pete."
Yeah.
And then Pete's like, "What? You don't know the Chainsmokers?" Talk about a bad day.
You want to? Can I do a quick Johnny Cash story?
Yeah, then we'll
be real quick. We were out in San Francisco a few years ago interviewing Sean McVay's grandfather, who was the architect of
the Giants teams, right?
The Niners teams. And we were out at his house, and across the lake, the man-made lake in his backyard was Folsom Prison.
Wow.
And so he was telling us the story about how Folsom Prison became a thing, and how they had to build the lake so that people felt safe around the prison. And obviously that's a big center point in a lot of Johnny Cash songs. And we sat around with
just the one song, right?
Yeah. We sat around with Grandpa McVay, whose name I can't come up with at the moment, which is bad.
Isn't it John?
Is it?
That was John McVay.
Yeah. I don't know. That sounds about right.
Pete, anyway, can you name a Johnny Cash song?
I walk the line.
What's it called?
Walk the line.
All right.
That's pretty good. Anyway, if you made it this far, we owe you a beer.
Hey, everybody, it is John McVay. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Most importantly, Merry Christmas.
And we're all in it together.